Royal's home equity rates are at a historical low. And for a limited time, Royal Banks is offering one of the area's best home equity lines of credit. Call 314-212-1500 to talk to a representative today. Royal Banks of Missouri, investing in St. Louis for over 50 years. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
In sports, good offense starts with good defense. The professionals at Lakeside Roofing believe in this same motto for your roof. Our full-time service department provides the defense to ensure you get the most out of your roof system. A regular schedule of roof assessment and maintenance is the defensive strategy to extend the life of your roof. Call the winning team at Lakeside Roofing today at 618-344-2800 or 314-241-5253 or visit us on the web at lakesideroofing.com. Choose experience. Choose Lakeside.
Kevin Moret here from Antality Men's Health. Testosterone is what makes guys guys. It gives us energy, gives us focus, helps us recover, and drives our metabolism. Starting at age 20, every 5 years, your metabolism and hormones take a hit. You don't have to take that hit. Our doctors can restore your testosterone to keep your energy, focus, and metabolism right where it needs to be. Physician supervised, and our services are covered by insurance, so every guy can afford it. Schedule a free consultation at lowtusa.com. That's lowtusa.com.
Hollywood Casino St. Louis is the place to party before and after every concert this year. Whether you want to chill on the 99 Hops House patio enjoying a great selection of brews, or if you want to try your luck on the casino floor. They also offer VIP packages, hotel, free slot play, food credits, and transportation to and from the concert with your own VIP entrance. Enjoy the show. Must be 21. Gambling problem? In Missouri, call 1-888-BETS-OFF or visit 888-BETS-OFF.org.
Every great success story starts with one brave decision. And if you're one of the millions of Americans with college credit but no degree, one brave decision is all that stands between you and the future you want. At Maryville University, we know returning to college takes courage, but your decision isn't really about going back to school. It's about moving forward. And we'll be with you every step of the way. Let's be brave together. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Yeah.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's
unless you're at home, then you just go to the kitchen. See, that's a movie song. We don't have a TV theme song, but it is Tuesday. Dan Buffa's here. We're going to talk about movies and TV shows because I think most people, whether you watch a couple hours a week or 20 hours a week, I think most people would like to avoid wasted time. And if enough people tell you something is bad, you stay away from it. Enough tell you it's good, you want to check it out. And that's why he's here. And he's brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. You can find out a whole lot more. This is a terrific product and a great company. And you can find out more at windowworldstlouis.com. Would you please give it up for Dan Buffa?
Thank you.
How are you?
Good.
As usual, I like to speak first.
Of course.
My show.
Really?
Basically like the trailers that play before the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
There we go.
And what I'd like to speak first about two things. One, over the weekend, my wife and I went to see a movie, and we loved it. And it was yesterday.
Can I get... Oh, I wasn't a guess.
Were you going to guess yesterday?
No, I was actually...
When did you go see it?
I think we went Friday.
Huh?
What were you going to say?
I think I was going to go unconventional and maybe think you saw that crazy new horror film called Midsommar.
What?
There's a new film coming out. It's getting all the attention, but it's a very trippy, unconventional horror film called Midsommar from the person that did Hereditary with Toni Collette last year.
No, I don't even know about that movie. But I will tell you that yesterday was about three times as good. We only go to a movie if we think we're going to like it. And this turned out to be, we liked it about three times as much as we thought we would. It's fun.
It's a good flick.
It's ingenious. The idea is brilliant. And the way they did it, because I actually, even though I wanted to see it, I thought, well, this is stupid. You know, who doesn't know who the Beatles are?
It wasn't easy to pull off. I mean, I think they had to do it. And it's a dream team. Richard Curtis wrote it. Danny Boyle directed it. Those two guys, having those two guys on a movie is once in a lifetime.
Well, to anybody, I would say that the only people that I can think of who really might not like this movie would be people who absolutely don't know anything about the Beatles or their music. And I don't know who that would be. Do you think there are any 25-year-olds who don't know Beatles music?
I think it would just be a chance to rediscover their music.
Tim says yes.
Only
if you didn't like their music at all, then you probably don't want to see this
movie. But if you don't know their music, you don't know if you like it. And that would be the person I would say could not appreciate this movie. You just couldn't, but I don't think there are many of those people.
See, me, I like the Beatles. I just didn't love them. I mean, I've always been a Rolling Stones fan over the Beatles, but this movie helped me appreciate them more because the stories behind all their songs and, you know, remembering the lyrics and, you know, Paul McCartney and John Lennon. And I liked it. Maybe we can discuss it. I love that twist with a certain Beatle.
Yeah,
I like that.
That was brilliant.
I didn't see that coming. I was like, who is he going to see? Midway through the movie, he goes to see somebody.
Yeah.
He gets a note from somebody and goes, here, go here. And he goes to an address, and it's just a great little twist. I guess we can discuss it. It's been out for 2 or 3 weeks.
I don't think it ruins the movie for anybody.
We want to see it, too. We really want to see it.
Don't tell him. Okay, that's it.
So when you see it, we'll discuss that. But it's a great... And I didn't see it coming either. That was kind of an unforeseen
twist.
Well,
and here's something that's not giving anything away. Just imagine, folks, imagine something happening, and it obliterates the memory of the Beatles.
And not just the Beatles. Other stuff, too.
Other stuff, too. But the focus is the Beatles, okay? Here, I'll give you an example. This doesn't ruin anything. He orders a Coke. Coke never existed. They go, what? And he says, okay, Pepsi? And they go, all right. Yeah. Coca-Cola has been wiped from the minds of people. The Beatles have been completely wiped from the minds of people. And when he tries to tell somebody, he gets a guitar and he said, yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away.
The C word is...
And somebody goes, wow, what a beautiful song.
Yeah.
When did you
what
write
is that?
What is that? He goes, what is it? It's Yesterday by the Beatles. And they go, what? Yeah. Who?
Or how about
what are you talking about?
Where he plays it for his parents and they go, what is it called? Hey, man? No, hey, Jude.
Hey, dude.
Because imagine trying to tell people about the Beatles and the music. They have no idea what you're talking about. So it's only natural that when everybody goes, you're a genius. What a great song. Yeah. Here comes the sun. Wow, that's beautiful. And then you realize, holy crap, they think I wrote this stuff.
And so you run with it. He did his own singing, too. He was really good.
He was very good.
He's a newcomer.
And so you run with it. You think, well, the whole world thinks that I wrote this stuff, so let's go. And here comes a manager and an agent and a record label. This guy's a massive star.
The manager lady was a demon.
Kate McKinnon.
She's so
fantastic.
Funny.
Fantastic. She was great. I'm telling you, folks, this is a very entertaining movie. Is the idea stupid? Yeah, but it's really, really entertaining.
One question. Does he try and monetize the fact that this has been a race and he makes these songs?
Oh, absolutely.
When he's releasing this album, Kate McKinnon goes, this is going to change the world. You're going to be a superstar. And that right there just terrifies
him. They show copies of the numbers, downloads, 100,000, million, and the money is now just rolling in.
Like. And, of course, Ed Sheeran's like, how did you write that song? Why did you write that song? And he's like,
Now, that was the other surprise for me. And I don't get Ed Sheeran. I don't get his music. I don't get going to a concert, with the exception of Garth Brooks, where the guy walks out with just a guitar, and I'm going to sit there for 2 hours. I don't get it. I don't get him. But he's very successful, and a lot of people love his music. And the surprise, too, is that he's in this movie as Ed Sheeran. Now, imagine this. You're claiming to have written songs you didn't write, and... Yeah. And you get a phone call, and it says, hi, it's Ed Sheeran. He goes, yeah, right, hang on. And then he comes to your house, and you go, holy crap, you're Ed Sheeran. And the guy's, this kid's dad walks in the kitchen.
Yeah, he's just doing his stuff.
He's coming to the refrigerator, and he looks over, and he goes, you know, you look a lot like Ed Sheeran. And Ed Sheeran goes, I am Ed Sheeran. He goes, yeah, right. And he walks out. Yeah. There are a lot of really funny parts to this movie.
The best parts are the parents. They're so oblivious to what's going on. Like, when he's playing this song, there's a knock at the door. Hold on, son. He's trying to play him. Hey, Jude. And he goes, hold on, son. At the door. And then the phone rings. He's like, what is it called? Hey, man. Hey, Jude, Dad.
Now, I'm going to give one other thing away. But, again, there's so much more.
There's so much
that
more.
I'm not ruining it for you. Ed Sheeran is with a other group of people. They're backstage, and they're all and so is what's the character's name? Do you remember the guy who's taking credit?
I want to say Jack, but
it is Jack.
I'm gonna look it up.
No, it is Jack. So Jack, this guy who people think wrote all this music, is backstage hanging out with Ed Sheeran, who's now let him open for him in concert. They're good buddies, and Ed Sheeran is so blown away by this guy's ability to write music, they decide, okay, Ed Sheeran, we have a contest. Yeah. We're both going to leave the room for 10 minutes. Whoever comes back with the best original song written right now in 10 minutes wins. Ed walks out, Jack walks out, Ed comes back in and sings a beautiful song that he just wrote in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Then Jack sits down with the guitar, and I don't remember the song, but let's just say it's "There Are Places I Remember."
Yeah, great song.
And everybody's just stunned, and Ed goes, "Okay, you win." I mean, you win. But that was over. No voting. They were going to vote, and Ed said, "No, we're not voting."
And it was the look on his face, too. He's just dumbfounded. He has like,
"How in the world did you do that in 10 minutes?" Of course, he didn't.
Because Ed Sheeran built his empire in like years, but this guy comes along, and in like a month or two, he overtakes him.
Okay, now one other aspect of this movie. Again, the movie's called Yesterday, and this was so brilliant. Think about if that happened, if there was a power outage, and for whatever reason, it removed from everybody's minds that there ever were the Beatles. Now, you realize when you sing a song, because you got a new guitar and you're trying it out, people think you wrote it. You sing another, think you wrote it, think you wrote all the Beatles songs, but you didn't. Now you have to try to remember the lyrics. You can't go online. Yeah. He went online and pulled up Beatles. It came up Bugs, Old Cars.
Oh, yeah.
There's no existence of the Beatles. So he couldn't go find the lyrics.
He's walking up and down the street trying to go, oh, yeah, that's it. And he's writing down the lyrics.
Right now, if let's say that happened and I'm going to be the guy. Let's say I could play guitar, which I can't.
Yeah.
And I could sing, which I really can't. But I'm going to be that guy. Now I'm walking along. Something in the way she moves attracts me like no other lover. Something in the way she... And he's driving him nuts. He has to actually make himself...
There's no record.
He's going crazy. He can't remember all the lyrics.
It's gone.
And without him, he can't perform it.
Why did everybody have it erased except him?
We don't know the answer to that.
Oh. They don't really dive into that. I mean, and I'm glad that they did that because you'd have to really execute a really good screenplay to go, okay.
But it doesn't make you want to think that deep. It
not
just
really,
doesn't.
No.
I never sat there once and thought that, Tim. But you would. But I never thought that.
No,
I just thought, this is unbelievable.
Because if you're going to do that, you're going to start juggling a lot of different things, and the focus is going to fall off the music, and it's like sci-fi. Oh, yeah, just him. He's been the chosen one. And also, maybe it has to do with the fact that he could sing those songs about as good.
Yeah.
His voice, to me, is a combination of McCartney.
But right now, anybody listening, after the show, just sit down and see how many Beatles songs you can even get halfway through, for as long as they've been around, and remember all the lyrics. It's not easy. He had post-it notes everywhere reminding him of lyrics, like Blackbird singing in the dead of night, take these tiny wings and learn to fly.
Yeah, all the lyrics.
All your life. That's as far as I can go. You were morning to this morning to survive, Blackbird. That's as far as I can go.
It's like, to me, it's like a long game of Hangman where you're trying to fill in the words and the letters, but it's for songs.
I thought it was fantastic.
How did Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds go over in the movie?
I don't think he ever sang it.
I played that.
That's my favorite one.
And I don't think it's in there. But Tim, think about it. Think about it. You know how many songs... You know how many songs the Beatles wrote and recorded? The movie would have been 8 hours long.
I used to wear Beatles ties when I first got a job out of college.
Excuse me.
That was Frank.
I said, excuse me.
They were the coolest ties ever, and it was way before the internet was around. I had a Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds tie. I had to drive my car, paperback writer. Each tie was had about 15 different colors on it. It was the loudest, most...
And none of the songs you just mentioned are in the movie. That's how many songs the Beatles have put out that the movie couldn't possibly cover half of them.
I'm going to go print out all the lyrics now, just in case that
happens. In case you have a
do it now, I'm telling you. Can you imagine that? If you try to look it up on Google, it'd be gone.
Yeah.
I mean, he kept looking it up, and it kept bringing a beetle up, an insect.
And the bug or the car. And that was funny. Like, that was funny, too, and that was also brilliant, because that's the first thing you would do.
Yeah.
When people around you kept saying, Beatles, who's that? George Ringo. Who are you talking about? You get online, and everything that came up, Rolling Stones came up, he typed it in, there they were. But not the Beatles. They never existed. Yeah, Yesterday is the name. It's a great movie. Now, one other thing. And if you're lucky, you'll have some time to talk.
I'm just sitting here. It's good.
In filmmaking, these are the names, a few of the names that when I think of them, I think brilliant filmmaker. Spielberg, Scorsese, Ron Howard, I would put in there, and Ken Burns. This Mark Twain thing, have you seen this?
I have not seen it.
Oh, my God. Look, it's, I think, two parts. My wife and I watched the first part. I was mad when the first part was over, and I think it was a couple of hours. I had no idea how little I knew about Mark Twain. This is a fascinating documentary. In a couple of parts, and I guess next week on a Sunday or whenever, PBS, and everybody can get it. because it's Channel 9 PBS. You don't have HBO or Showtime or Amazon or Netflix. It's a PBS Channel 9 telecast. It is great. And Mark Twain, wow, what a fascinating character this guy was. And all I knew was, oh, yeah, Tom Sawyer, Huck Finn, and I don't really even know those books. I read Tom Sawyer once when I was a kid. I don't think I ever really read Huck Finn. I know he went down the river with his black friend Jim, but that's about
it's
it.
It's like before I watched, you know, Darkest Hour. I didn't think I thought I knew Winston Churchill. Oh, I didn't know anything.
I didn't know anything either. Yeah. But I would highly recommend the Mark Twain documentary by Ken Burns on Channel 9 PBS. It is brilliantly done. Now, your turn.
All right, there's two movies that I'm going to review. One's in theaters and one's on
oh,
Netflix.
Oh, one more thing I want to talk about. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Go
it
ahead.
It just makes me have to sharpen the tools a little bit.
I do want to say Yellowstone is back and as good as ever.
It just keeps getting better every week.
It's tremendous. Now go ahead.
And it's been picked up for season 3, by the way.
Good.
So get in while
good.
It's at the ground floor. One season and maybe, what, four episodes already?
Three.
Let me ask you, before I get into movies, did you give City on a Hill another shot?
I did. I'm back with it.
Yeah. Because at the end, there was a little more action.
I'm back with it.
Yeah. And I do think that one scene, just referencing this last week, it's on Showtime on Sunday nights. Kevin Bacon, this is by the performance of his career, playing this dirty FBI agent. The scene where he gets into the ambulance and rides with that cop who's just been shot.
Yeah.
And gives him like his last rites. It's so terrifying because this guy is good, he's bad, he's in the middle. You don't really know which way he's gonna go in this series. So if you like Kevin Bacon,
that scene,
he's like, my face is gonna be the last thing you see on this.
And it's not like what most people would say to a dying person.
No,
it's not compassionate at all. Imagine this. Imagine you're dying and you know you're dying.
Your worst enemy shows
up. You're in the ambulance, you know, and your worst enemy is in the ambulance with you, looking at you. You're dying, and he says, "Look at me. I am the last thing you will see, you piece of SH." I mean, saying the nastiest things you can to the guy before he dies. It's fantastic.
And the thing is, it's the way Bacon kind of looks, too. He has that smirk on his face. It's like, you know, your wife's going to miss you for 5 minutes, and that's it.
Okay, I disagree with you that it's the best thing Kevin Bacon's done.
I think it could be.
Kevin Bacon has done. So, look, there are very few people that if I see their...
Tremors.
The Following.
Dan, that's not even a good example.
River Wild, he played a good bad guy.
River Wild. There are very few things where if I see Kevin Bacon's in them that I won't watch. Because, again, my absolute favorite military movie. A Few Good Men? Taking Chance.
Oh, Taking Chance, yeah.
He's terrific. My Dog Skip. He's the wounded veteran dad of the little boy with the dog. There's not much of Kevin
Stir
Bacon.
Of Echoes, where he plays that guy.
Stir of Echoes, one of the greatest.
Mystic River, with Clint Eastwood's Mystic River.
See? This thing is not as good as
that. About my favorite line from Animal House? Thank you, sir, may I have another. Thank you, sir, may I have another.
He can do it all. And there's not a lot of actors who can do drama.
Let's not forget. Footloose, which I can watch once a year. Terrible. Oh, you're nuts.
Just the whole thing of the movie, like even the new one was crap.
But Kevin Bacon made that
work. It's a bad time for movies back in the day.
It's essentially like a musical.
Dance.
Hold on. You think that's a joke? There are places where dancing is outlawed in rural, southern, weird communities. That's not a joke.
That can't be real.
It absolutely is real.
Really? I would believe it.
Yes.
Dancing?
There's a certain Baptist religion that they don't allow
dancing is against their religion. Yeah. Oh, no, that is absolutely a thing.
It is.
And let's say it used to be. That's an 80s movie?
So Limey's hoping the next time there's a power outage that Footloose gets eliminated from the history of the world.
Well, no, I can just imagine, you know, somebody there just doing their dishes, they listen to some music and start tapping your foot like, up.
No, that's not
dancing
it.
In public.
It's dancing
right?
in public yeah. with one there sex are. With the opposite sex. That
what town?
In some places
are they
has
Amish?
Been.
Amish?
No.
Pound, Virginia outlaws dancing right now. Sullivan County, you are not allowed to dance in Sullivan County, Virginia.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
And by the way,
told you.
Human taxidermy is illegal. Frank and I talked about that a bit last hour.
It is now.
It's illegal to taxidermy your spouse now.
Limey? We're going to Sullivan, and we are going to dance.
Right. Let's go to Pound, Virginia, and play the part of Kevin Bacon and put an end to the no dancing thing.
No, do the John Cusack, bring the jukebox, put it above your head, and just start dancing.
See, the other thing about Footloose, you may hate it, but here's the deal. It's several movies in one. It's a great story about overcoming people's ridiculous ideas about what dancing could lead to. It's also terrific dancing in the music.
Now, let me ask, where he's riding a bicycle? Is that where he's in Footloose, or is that a different movie?
He's not on a bike in Footloose.
Okay, it's a different movie.
Give me 30 seconds. You'll love this.
There's a joke.
Tim just said, give me 30 seconds, please, Dan.
Oh, I thought he wanted 30 seconds to look this up.
Rude. No.
In the state of Washington, it is illegal to engage in marathon dance competitions, and in the city of Linden, Washington, dancing and serving alcohol are not permitted in the same establishment. God.
There you go, Limey.
In Fargo, North Dakota, it's illegal to dance with a hat on.
Really?
And there's a town in Missouri, in Purdy, Missouri.
I've heard of it.
Dancing of any sort is strictly prohibited, although the law is not really enforced, but it's still on the law books in Purdy,
there
Missouri.
There you go.
That's
see?
It. Coming to Netflix next year. Mm-hmm. I'm dancing in Purdy.
You're our Purdy.
It's a great musical, and I don't like musicals, but it's not really a musical.
I would almost say that he makes it work.
He does.
He really does.
He does.
And really,
and you know who else does? That girlfriend, that smoking hot girlfriend.
Who played it?
I don't know.
Terry Hatcher.
We never saw her again. We never saw her.
What movie?
Footloose.
Kevin Bacon. Find Mr. Know-It-All. Find the
like Kelly McGillis in Top Gun.
She's banished. And then she just gone.
Have any of you ever seen the movie Gleaming the Cube with Kevin Bacon?
No.
He's this young little teenager who's brother gets killed by this horrible businessman, and he's a skateboarder, so he just takes him down. He takes down like the whole company and gets the police involved.
If you like seeing Kevin Bacon play a bad guy, the director of the Spider-Man, who's now blown up, John Watts, made a very low budget film called Cop Car, where he plays a corrupt cop whose car is stolen by two kids. He spends the whole movie tracking down these kids. He's a corrupt cop. He's got stuff in his trunk. You know, drugs, goods. So he's going after these two kids who aren't any more older than 8 years old. He plays a
8-year old steal a car.
Yeah, they steal his car, and you know he's away from it, and it's Kevin Bacon playing a corrupt cop. It's good stuff.
He was the third choice for the lead character in Footloose. Tom Cruise accepted the part, but it overlapped with him filming the movie All the Right Moves, and then Rob Lowe was signed to play the lead part in it, and he injured himself and couldn't participate in the dancing
Rob Lowe.
Scene.
Huh. Well, I'm glad it worked out with Kevin Bacon.
Is Laurie Singer Ariel Moore?
That's it.
That's his girlfriend?
That's her.
Yeah, she's not a real cutie today.
Have you ever seen the TV show that Kevin Bacon's in, The Following?
Yes.
That's a great TV show.
Excellent.
Again, another character that you couldn't really categorize as good or bad.
She hasn't...
No.
That was only her third ever movie, but nothing that she's been in since then has been...
I never understand that. She was so good. Let me tell you another one. Hang on. The Great Outdoors, John Candy, Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot.
What?
Sorry, Kevin Bacon is not in Gleaming the Cube. It's Christian Slater. I'm an idiot. Thank you, Texter.
No, give yourself, the idiot.
Yep, I'm...
Idiot!
Right, okay, John Candy's son has a summer romance with a local town girl in the Great Outdoors. That girl was so cute, and we've never seen her again. Another case, like Laurie Singer, what happened to her? I mean, she was so good. My wife and I watched it the other day with my grandson, because he loves the Great Outdoors, because of the raccoons talking, and I said, what happened to this girl?
I always think that when it comes to an actress, you know, if being beautiful doesn't really stay with them, then they have to be talented or else they're going to be gone. So when their beauty kind of goes, they kind of go with it. Like Megan Fox looked really good in Transformers, but then a couple years, 3 years later, all of a sudden all that plastic surgery on her face kind of started to show, and I was like, you're not really good looking anymore, and she can't act, so she's gone.
So, you know, you have that little window, unless you can, like Olivia Wilde, who's very hot, but she can act, and now she can write and direct. She's going to hang around.
And by the way, Meryl Streep is not hot, but she can act.
Yeah, she can act.
She never was great looking. So, Mr. Know-It-All, can you find the girl who played the girlfriend of John Candy's son in The Great Outdoors? That's all I have to tell you to go on. I don't know her name in the movie, but it shouldn't be hard to do.
John Candy.
Because she's one of the... You know, the lead players are John Candy and who played his wife?
I mean, she was probably like the third or fourth lead.
Yeah, whoever played his wife. Aykroyd and his wife, which was...
Stephanie Farrisee played Connie Ripley and Annette Bening played Kate Craig.
It would be Stephanie.
Stephanie Farrisee?
Yeah. Now, again, you never heard that name, have you?
No.
Ever again?
No.
And she was terrific in that movie. What do you need to... steer us away from or toward?
You mentioned yesterday, and that's good because that's a movie you should see in theaters. I'm going to tell you what you shouldn't see unless you really know what you're going in for.
Hey, what about Crawl?
That was a great transition because guess what I'm reviewing next?
Crawl. I'm a psychic. Whoa, I'm the only psychic, the only proven psychic in the world.
That was I couldn't even get the word out.
I'm the only proven psychic in the world. Don't ever forget it.
And do you want to take John's call first or do you want to do Crawl?
Let's do a
call. The show is all about listeners. Listeners
all about
first.
Listeners. Let's get into it.
John, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dan Buffa.
Dan, how you doing? I'm AM and the PM.
Thank you, John.
Hello.
Hey, Dan, and Frank, you'll probably be interested in this one. Let me get the guy's name. Skidmore, Missouri.
Oh, my goodness. In broad daylight.
In broad daylight, yeah.
Brian Dennehy.
Good McElroy. Movie.
On Sundance Channel, I think it's August 1st, maybe.
I will watch it again.
Brian Dennehy,
true story,
really good actor.
Well, this is more of a documentary than Brian Dennehy.
I'd rather see the documentary because I've seen the movie three times.
It was really good.
It was really good. So I will be there. What's the documentary called? Is it called In Broad Daylight?
No, it's they've got another name for it, Frank. But I'll tell you what, when I find it, I see it on TV tonight, I'll email you.
Please, I would love to see that.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, John.
You're very welcome. Bye now.
Now, for anybody who doesn't know who he's talking about, this is a true story. The movie is called In Broad Daylight. So is the book In Broad Daylight. Now, the movie starred Brian Dennehy as this despicable, horrible person that everybody in Skidmore, Missouri,
he plays that so well,
couldn't stand. And basically, here's the story. He's a town bully. He beats up old people. He takes advantage of people. Everybody is afraid of him. And maybe you've known somebody like this. And at a certain point, they've had it. They cannot seem to get him kept in jail. The cops are even afraid of him. So the reason it's called In Broad Daylight, I'm not giving anything away here. It's been out forever. It happened back, I think, in the 70s or something. The town's men, the men in the town all got together. They knew where this bully had coffee at a little diner or cafe about the same time every day. So this time they just said, you know what, when he comes out of there, we're just going to shoot him, Swiss cheese him. And they did, like 20, 30, 40 rifles just riddled this guy.
It's Bonnie and Clyde him, huh? Yeah.
And to this day, nobody has ever been charged because the police were thrilled that he was dead. And no one has ever ratted anybody else out. No one saw anything. And I'm
Case closed.
And I'm talking multiple rifles. Just blowing holes in this guy, and they get in their trucks and leave, and nobody
That's
knew
it.
It's a fantastic story about somebody getting what they deserve.
And he just had a birthday last week.
Who, Dennehy?
Yeah, I think he's in his late 60s, early 70s.
Oh, I would think he's at least that.
And also, when he plays a good bad guy, is in First Blood with Sylvester Stallone.
Yes.
He is so bad.
I love Brian Dennehy.
The guy wants a meal, and you beat him up, and you turn him into Rambo.
Rambo, he was great.
Yeah. You know that the only... play.
There's another Rambo this summer, buddy.
And Cocoon, he was also.
Oh, great. Wow. It was great. The only stage play that I've gone to in St. Louis, because I don't go to plays, was at the Fox Theater. And it was Brian Dennehy in Death of a Salesman. And I had
did that forever,
and
too.
I had seen Death of a Salesman on TV, and I thought, I want to see that. I went to the Fox. Oh, my goodness, it was fantastic. He was great. That's a great story, Death of a Salesman.
So going from a really good movie and a really good actor to not a good movie. Crawl... This is the kind of movie that's unintentionally funny, because it takes place in Florida. There's a big hurricane. They're evacuating the city, the town, and a young woman who's in college Of course, who would she swim for? The Florida Gators. There you go. There's your plot tie-in. She goes back, of course, into the town that's been evacuated to find her dad, played by none other than Barry Pepper, who is just one of those actors. He pops up in these movies. He played.
I don't even know who he is. I guess I'd know if I saw him.
He played Roger Maris in the HBO film 61.
Oh, yeah.
Was he in Barry Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band? I think it was.
He played one of the guards in Green Mile.
In Green Mile, yeah. He's been around. He kind of had his moment. Now he's kind of shuffling around. He plays the dad. So it's essentially a daughter and her dad against a bunch of angry alligators in Florida. They are trapped in the basement of their house, and essentially the house is being flooded. The basement's almost flooded. It's an hour and 25-minute movie. And, you know, expectations-wise, I just wanted to be entertained. But what is it about horror films where all human beings act stupid? They make the worst moves. True. Like, she's making a bunch of noise. Dad says, don't make any noise. Go over to that spot in the basement. See if you can get out of here. And she grunts, and she runs into stuff, and she bumps into... She makes all kinds of noise, and the alligators go to her. And this is also a movie where a person can have their arm ripped off, and all they do is tie a knot with their shirt, and all the bleeding stops. So, the alligator, I'm going to give it away right now, reaches out and rips Barry Pepper's arm off. He goes, hold on. And then he's good. He's good. All right, come on, let's keep going. It's like, whatever, man. You'd be bleeding out in about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It's a movie that I don't think it was supposed to be this funny. So if you want to, go to, I think this is a Redbox movie. It's $1.79. Don't pay $12 to see this movie. I watched it for you. That's what I do. I watch the stinkers and the good ones. This is only good if you're very drunk or very high. Maybe you'll laugh. Maybe you'll enjoy it. But it's not even like a good kind of bad. It's like you're
Would
kinda
you
like,
take a little kid to see this?
Oh, no. This is a hard R.
Did you like Snakes on a Plane?
You know, Samuel L. Jackson made that kind of fun.
But this is kind of what I'm getting, the whole animal, it's ridiculous.
If this had Samuel L. Jackson going, man, punch that alligator in the face, it might be funny. But there wasn't really good humor here.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like that, because everybody was in on the joke, including Samuel L. Jackson. Like,
right, so we didn't even need to discuss it. It's bad.
It's bad. I mean, I'm not even sure I give it a 2.
All right, what do you give ARDs? How many?
1.5.
Oh, man, that's bad.
And the thing is, a lot of critics are liking it, but I didn't get it.
Here they come.
All right, Dan. All right.
Not enough for me to go.
Now, the movie I want you to watch is on Netflix, and it's called Point Blank. And now, I have to differentiate this one. There's 3 Point Blanks. There's the Lee Marvin one. And then there's a French film that this one is based on. So this stars Anthony Mackie and Frank Grillo. As Anthony Mackie plays a nurse who has a pregnant wife, and his wife is kidnapped, and he has to go to the hospital and break out this criminal who has just been brought to the hospital that night. He has a gunshot wound, played by Frank Grillo. And it's a ticking clock. And he has to break this guy out of a hospital, keep him away from dirty cops, keep him away from gangsters. And it's basically these two guys on the run in Cincinnati.
And who is the guy breaking him out, and why is he breaking him out?
He's a nurse, and somebody kidnaps his pregnant wife. So his pregnant wife is about ready to pop. So it's that kind of gives the movie a timetable and kind of a clock to tick down. And Frank Grillo plays this guy who's been shot. You know he's a criminal, but you don't exactly know what he did. Marcia Gay Harden is in it, and she plays a detective.
Her.
She plays kind of a complex role here. She's got a bunch of different speeds that she shows off. She's going after him because she's trying to get to Grillo's character. And so it's just these two guys who don't like each other who have to be paired up for the day and survive and basically get the nurse's wife back and get the criminal's brother. So it's an 86-minute movie. It is so fast. It's a breakneck pace. It's thrilling. Grillo and Mackie were both in Marvel movies together. You know, they played adversaries in that movie. In this one, they're kind of playing. It's almost kind of like a buddy comedy thing, but it's more dark because there's a fight in a car wash in this movie. There's gunplay. There's betrayal. There's twist. And being a big Grillo fan, this is another thing that he plays so well. He plays a very convincing action guy. Like when he does all of his own stunts, he really knows how to say the F word with really authority. And then there's not a lot of guys that can do that outside of Robert De Niro.
But it's funny, it's action packed, it's thrilling, it's unconventional, and it's quick.
His grandfather, by the way, was a big deal at the St. Louis Zoo. His grandfather had a weird first name, Phil the Grillo.
Oh my God!
Thank you.
Oh my!
Everybody
goodness.
Who knows about Phil the Gorilla thinks yeah. that's funny.
Phil the
Gorilla, get it? Sorry,
Phil the.
Tim's working on.
No, I know who Phil the Gorilla was.
I know, but yeah. you're deciding if you want to laugh no. or not. I'm the same way.
I think he's already made that decision. He's not laughing.
I was going to see if I could dumb down Frank's dumb joke, down. But yeah. I think he hit it all.
He hit it all.
He hit it all. But it's on Netflix. It started streaming on Friday. It's written by Adam G. Simon. I'm going to try to get him on the show because I know the writer of the movie. And he's a good dude. He's been scrapping along. This is another War Party film. The same guys that made Wheelman, which is on Netflix, where he played the getaway driver all night. The same people. And that was an 86-minute movie. They make lean movies. I love movies that are short. They don't waste 1 minute of your time. This movie starts out, and Frank Grillo's falling out of a building, and he's wounded. And he's running. He gets hit by a car. The nurse gets into play, and then they break out of the hospital, and the movie takes off. And it never
Sounds
slows
good to
down.
Me.
It never slows down. I give this movie a 3.5 because right. it what it set out to do was entertain you, make you laugh, and be very convincing. And due to the two leads who are just really good together, I want to see more of them. And I think there is going to be a follow-up movie. So 3.5 for Point Blank on Netflix.
Here we go. Point Blank, 3.5 ARDs.
All right, Dan. All right.
Okay, it's enough for me to go.
I do want to say something about TV. I'm getting into Showtime's The Loudest Voice.
Yes.
Russell Crowe. I knew
he,
nothing.
He nails it.
Here it is again, Frank. I knew nothing about Roger Ailes before watching this series.
I knew a little.
And he's essentially, what, the Fox News giant? He took over television. He made it more accessible.
It was his idea, his baby.
I got to say, the episode where they handled 9/11 was very well done because they could have explained it. They could have did a lot more, but they did it really well because that day, I think, really put his idea into play. Not that he wanted it to happen, but he really took advantage of that day. I think certain news networks kind of went for the kill. I mean, what is it that he shows? He shows the image of... Was it the people falling from the building, or was it the people... He showed something that people wouldn't show everywhere else, and that kind of made it more... That gave him more ratings.
Well, whatever it was, I remember they said, take the camera off. It goes,
take
no,
the
leave
camera
it.
Off
no,
it.
I said,
yeah.
Leave the camera there. Just leave it. They need to see what these SOBs are capable of and what they're doing to our country. And granted, Roger Ailes was a sleazeball, sexist piece of crap.
But he knew he admitted he was,
though. And at the same time... He was a programming genius. He was the Lorne Michaels of news.
That's a great comparison.
He was.
Because he knew what people wanted. He knew that it had nothing to do with Democrat, Republican. He said, just put it, give them what they want, give them access.
Well, here's the most brilliant thing that he said, not in these exact words. If you've ever watched Fox News, it's loaded with really great-looking women. These women all look like beauty pageant winners,
but they're
smart, okay? And there's a point where they're talking about, they're auditioning people, Sean Hannity and all these, and then they get to the women, and one woman auditions in a pantsuit. And Roger says, tell her to leave, put on a dress, and come back, let's try it again. Because if you watch Fox News, you'll see the best legs you've ever seen.
Yeah.
By design and on purpose, because Roger Ailes said it may be a news channel, but it's still television and it's still entertainment, and people want to look at pretty people.
If there's
so
a
he
camera,
loaded it with hot women.
If there's a camera, you have to take advantage. That was his idea, and nobody else wanted to do it. Everybody in that room in that first episode was like, this is nuts, but he spoke up, and what's his name, Rupert Murdoch, listened to him.
And he's right. Because the first time I ever looked at Fox News, I had no idea what they were talking about. I'm looking at Kimberly Guilfoyle's legs and Megyn Kelly's legs.
Yeah.
And all these hot looking women. And then when you hear them speak, you go, holy mackerel, they're all so smart. They're attorneys, judges, but they're hot. He was brilliant to do that.
I do want to say,
you want to look at Anderson Cooper, or you want to look at Megyn Kelly's legs?
It's pretty easy, But for Netflix people and for fans of Captain America himself, Chris Evans will be on Netflix with a movie streaming July 31st, and this is a big deal. His beard is making a comeback. And Captain America, what was it, Avengers Infinity War, Limey? He had the big beard. He comes back. He's got a new film called The Red Sea Diving Resort, and this is based on the heroic international group of undercover Mossad agents who smuggle Ethiopian refugees to Israel. So this is like, I'm not sure if it's a true story, but it looks like it's a good international spy thriller. With Chris Evans, and more importantly, Chris Evans' beard is returning.
Okay. He smuggles what?
Ethiopian yo-yos. Refugees.
Did you see this? Did you see the photo?
Right, hold on, no. Unless we can't let this go by. Did you hear what Dan did?
Yo-yos.
Smuggling yo-yos.
Well, that's girls.
No.
I don't get it.
You don't?
No.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you exactly what kind of filth Dan had tried to interject into Dan Buffa's segment. When you see a woman, especially in, let's say, these tight Lululemon things, I think we've all heard of camel toe.
Yeah.
Well, that's what smuggling yo-yos is. She's smuggling yo-yos. Now, I don't go for that, and I do not like it.
No.
I don't think it's funny.
I don't either.
I'm embarrassed and disgusted, and I apologize on behalf of 590 The Fan, the entire radio station, that Dan would say something like that. She's smuggling
yo-yos. Apparently, this is based on a true story. During the day, these agents would entertain hotel guests, tourists, and divers, be normal people, and then at night, they would help these people. They'd smuggle them in. So this is a true story. And Chris Evans is playing a Mossad agent, so I'm all over it.
I laughed out loud at a photo I saw online today of a guy that was arrested in an airport, I believe, in Bogota, Colombia, or he had just flown out of Bogota, Colombia, which, as we all know, was a major source of cocaine for the world. And this guy got arrested for trying to smuggle a half a kilo of cocaine in his hairpiece.
I saw
his
that.
Hairpiece.
It was the
worst hairpiece you ever saw in the world. I mean, he had like this bouffant hairdo.
So do me a favor. What does a kilo look like? I mean,
a half kilo. It looks like a
brick,
like dough at Pizza Hut before they spread it out to make a
pizza.
Wow,
it is hairpiece.
It's like a circle, and it was. They showed a picture of him with the hairpiece on, and then they showed the picture of it with the thing on top of his head without the hairpiece.
It's hilarious.
Coming to Netflix in 2020.
Wow,
2020. We'll make this one quick. I do want to note that in a little bit over a week, Spider-Man has made $847 million.
Not any of it's my money. I'm just not into that. I'm not into any of the Marvel. None of it.
Fine. But if you do watch it, watch the guy who made that movie. Watch the Kevin Bacon film, Cop Car. It's very good. It's low budget. He plays a bad guy. Again, this is a movie that just kind of came out of nowhere because if he was directing the Spider-Man film, you go into all the movies he's done and go, okay, he did this little Kevin, but this is the movie that Marvel gave him the job because he did this movie with Kevin Bacon where he's tracking down two kids who stole this cop car. He's a corrupt cop. It's Kevin Bacon at his best. But I do think...
Let me ask you a question. Yeah, let me just go back to something here.
Okay.
In broad daylight, when John called in and said the documentary's coming out on August 1st, now everybody in the room, just answer this question. Let's say you lived in Skidmore, Missouri, and Kenneth or something... Mr. Nono, would you look up name of the bully in Skidmore, Missouri? It's like Kenneth or something. And that's who Brian Dennehy played. So let's say for a minute, we all live in Skidmore, Missouri. Bill Cleveland lives there. Dan lives there. Buffa.
Ken McElroy.
Ken McElroy. And Ken McElroy has bullied, maybe punched our elderly parents in the store because something happened he didn't like. He's frightened people. He punches people. He hurts people. Cops are afraid of him. And let's say we all are part of a group that just guns him down coming out of a diner, and nobody cares. In fact, everybody's happy. For the rest of your life, would you feel like a murderer? Would you feel guilty? Would you feel compelled on your deathbed to ask forgiveness? And I helped kill Ken McElroy.
I'm going to recall a line that Clint Eastwood said in Unforgiven that I'll never forget. When you kill a person, you take away everything you ever had. And everything he's ever going to have. So even though if he's bad, I think you would still feel something for taking a life.
I disagree.
You do?
No. Oh, yeah. I would not lose a minute's sleep, and I would never feel bad about it, assuming he was that bad.
I don't think feel bad. I just think you'll go, man, I think it would hit you on occasion going, I just ended somebody. I expired them.
No,
it's not me. I saw the movie, and this guy was just like...
bad as you can be.
Yeah,
maybe I have to watch it again. Maybe I got to watch it.
Yeah. He was charged with child molestation, statutory rape, arson, cattle rustling, assault. I mean, you name it.
Everything. Okay, that's it. The thinking about it part's been taken away.
By the way, when you kill a man, you take it by everything he was and everything he could have been or was going to be.
Yeah.
This guy was never going to be anything but a monster and a child molester.
I just
and you don't
line.
Fix child molesters, okay? It's sort of like this. Let's say I had a 5-year-old niece.
I didn't know he did that.
Okay, I don't have a 5-year-old niece, but if I did and some guy raped her, okay, if I killed him, had a chance to kill him and got away with it, I would never, ever feel guilty or lose a minute's sleep.
I have an 8-year-old niece.
Okay, think about that.
Yeah.
If you got a chance and you knew you could pull this off,
I probably
shoot
would.
This guy and walk away and nobody would ever know. Absolutely, and I would never feel bad.
Being an Uber driver, I know where I could put him.
He
too.
Impregnated a girl when she was 14. He had children with 10 different women.
Oh.
I mean, this guy's a piece of work.
No, Ken McElroy was, and he's not the only one. Too. Here's the sad thing. He's not the only one that ever lived. He's just the one that got what he deserved when the police couldn't seem to find a way to put him
There's
away.
There's 10 of him that are still walking around today.
They were scared. They were actually scared to arrest this guy.
Really?
And, oh, my goodness. Oh, they tried it, and he threatened people's families, I think. There's a scene in there where he's in some store with a really nice old couple, and he just pistol whips them or something with a stick or something and battered and bruised. Nobody will prosecute him. They won't say anything. They're scared to death of him. Yeah, shoot that guy 100 times.
Yeah. One more thing before I leave. I want to say next week, one of the most anticipated movies of the summer comes out, Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
This is Brad Pitt and
Leonardo DiCaprio. And a big
ladies.
Guest, Margot Robbie, too. She's in it. It involves Charlie Manson. It is kind of a fictional take that involves...
But not completely.
Not completely. They involve Charlie Manson's story into their fictional story. So
when does this come out?
It comes out next to July 26th.
Really?
It is going to be... It is his ninth film. I cannot believe Quentin Tarantino's only made movies.
I don't like
movies.
Quentin Tarantino. I don't like most of his stuff, but I think this one's going to be good.
Yeah, I mean, it's got Al Pacino as well.
Did he do Inglourious Basterds?
Yes.
Okay, that's the exception. I loved Inglourious Basterds, and I watched it not knowing it was Quentin Tarantino. And then when I figured out, I thought, okay, well, here's one movie he did that I really like.
Sometimes that's a good way to do it. Go into a movie, don't even know who directed it, and just appreciate it from that for the product.
I think I like this.
But this comes out next week. Also, this week, Lion King comes out. I'll have a review of that next week. A remake.
I wrote a
Lion
movie,
King.
A screenplay, and that never went anywhere. Called
Here It Comes.
Called Truth Telling King. Get it, Lion King. Thanks, Tim.
Look at that. There you go.
Thanks, everybody.
That's coming to Netflix. Gee,
that was a pity.
And they say,
did you try that once before?
No. They say the new Lion King is tremendous. When does it come out?
It comes out this Friday. Jon Favreau directed
this. Oh, I'm going to see this.
It's a live action.
It's like the Jungle Book stuff.
Yeah.
Folks, if you didn't see Jungle Book, you should see the recent Jungle Book.
And
this is, they say, even better.
I mean, I'll tip my cap to him. He's doing the Marvel stuff. He's developing the Star Wars TV series. He's doing this. He's doing that. That takes a lot. I don't know what this guy sleeps. He probably doesn't sleep.
Well, this weekend I will be seeing Lion King for
sure. I'll see it too, so we can both review it next week. Okay. But until then,
you know how to wrap it up.
I'm Dan Buffa. I've had enough of
it. All right. There you go. Dan Buffa, everybody. We'll be back next Tuesday. Well, he decides he just doesn't want to put up with this anymore, and then I guess we'll get somebody else. Dan Buffa brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. Please, please, please tell them when you contact them that you're AM and the PM. And do that with everybody you hear me speak for. It's more important now than it's ever been. We appreciate when you do that. Last Friday, I was in the chair at Ballast Dental Care for a little over 2 hours. For the first time in many, many, many years, I had to have some stuff done. You get older, you don't floss, and then you realize, okay, should have done what they told me to do. Now I just got a water pick yesterday. I have to put water in it, plug it in tonight so I can use it for the first time tomorrow morning. And they suggested that I do that because it's even better than flossing. So I don't really know what all Dr. Obi-Wan Kenobi Watanabe did while they were working on me for over 2 hours and his assistant, Heather, but when they were finished, and it was pretty extensive, I must have had 8 or 10 shots of that Novocaine. And when it was over, about 10, I went in at 8:30, got out about 10:45. In another hour and a half, I was having lunch in a restaurant, eating whatever I wanted to eat. I was not in pain. I wasn't sore. This is Ballast Dental Care. Sometimes I think it's like they can work miracles that nobody else can work. They're thorough. They're good. They're understanding. They understand that most of the world hates to go to the dentist. But you need to understand that no matter how much you might hate it, you keep putting it off. What?
Did you not turn your phone on silent? Oh, Frank. What is this?
Is that your booty call ring?
No, it's on silent. It's on silent.
What was that?
I'll tell you later. I'll play it for you later. It's good. Okay. It's a good song.
All right.
That's a good song. Ballast Dental Care, folks. I don't care how much you hate it or hate the idea of it. What you're going to hate even more is the amount of extensive work you're going to have done, or maybe even lose your teeth. So let's not keep putting this off. Make your first appointment at Ballast Dental Care. I've been going there for 46 years. You're going to love it. Yeah, you can actually love a dentist, a dental clinic. Corner of Ballast and Clayton Roads, ballastdentalcare.com. Playhouse is coming up and everything that goes with it. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
Hello again, everybody. It's Bob Ramsey, and you're listening to KFNS, Wood River, St. Louis, and KFNS.com, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. A 4.4 earthquake hit the San Francisco Bay Area this afternoon. A magnitude 3.5 aftershock followed in the same area shortly after. There are no reports of injuries or damage. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says President Trump's remarks about four minority Democrats were disgraceful, disgusting, and